I told you that this morning would be a special worship celebration, and I hope you believe me. And as we enter now the gate of Thanksgiving, which we just did, which we just gave God praise, so that as you would have made your way into that tabernacle, the first thing that you would have come to once you entered that gate is you would have come to an altar. And there's going to be a scripture up on the screens, and you can see the scripture that refers to this altar. And God implemented this altar because as you would come through that gate, you would come through with a sacrifice. You would come through with one of your family's animals, a sheep or a goat or some type of sacrifice. You'd come through, and you would bring your animal to this altar, and the priest, you would have tied your animal to this altar, and that animal would become a sacrifice for your family's sins. That it would have been an atonement would have been made for you and your family's sins by that animal, and they would have tied that animal to this altar, and that animal would have died there, and that animal's blood would have been there, and that would have been symbolic that your family had received forgiveness, that animal became the ultimate sacrifice for you and your family. And we talked about how Jesus now has become the sacrifice for us. That we still have an altar, but no longer do we bring animals to this altar. We don't bring animals to this altar anymore, because as the animal used to be tied to the altar, Jesus became our sacrifice. That Jesus put his left hand, and his left hand was tied, and his right hand was tied. And Jesus becomes the sacrifice. And Jesus' blood becomes the atonement. And Jesus becomes our salvation. And that when we come to this altar, that's what we're called to do. We're called, the altar calls us to surrender. And that's an act of worship, is that when we come into worship, and then as we grow into worship of God, and as we worship Him, that we will surrender. And Hebrews, it says this, it says, so surrender to the sin that so easily entangles you, set it aside, be freed from it, surrender. And so we come into that phase of worship, we come into our next step of worshiping God, where we look at this altar, and where we thank Jesus for surrendering for us, for becoming that sacrifice, for his blood, giving atonement for our sins. And as we come to this altar this morning, as we go forward in our worship, may we be asked the question, what is it? What is it that I, what is it that you must surrender to God this morning? What must we surrender?
Let's praise God. Cause you've been so good. Oh, 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 oh. should have been dead, but you gave me mercy instead. 'Cause you've been so good, and I don't know you love me. I don't know you care so much, 'cause you've been so good. You've been good, God, you know you've been good. You've been good, so good. It's so incredible.
I can't explain your peace
beyond my understanding.
I can't explain your joy.
It's so unspeakable.
I can't explain your praise.
Let's give a Holy Ghost praise up in here. So amazing, 'cause you've been
good.
I know you've been so good to
me.
Got to bring you praise.
You've been so good to me. Got to bring you praise.
You've been so good to
me.
I've got to bring you praise. You've been so good to
me. Got to bring you
praise.
Been so good to
me. Hallelujah.
They would be tied, and you'll hear it in the Old Testament. People would run to the altar, and they would literally hold on to the altar. The family would have come, and they would have held on to that altar. And when they would have experienced God's forgiveness and his atonement of their sins, they would have felt freed. And they would have been freed, and then they would have left freed, and they would have left rejoicing, just like we did there in that song. And they would have been rejoicing, and they would have said, do you feel it? And the father would have said, do you feel freed from your sins? And the family would have said, yes. And they would have made their way from the altar freed and feeling salvation from their sins. And they would have come next to the wash basin there in the courtyard. And they would have come to that wash basin, and we have a text up there of scripture that will take you to this wash basin. We'll explain it to you. And they would have come to this wash basin filled with water, a bronzen wash basin. And after being freed from their sins, they would come to this wash basin, and there would be water. And you have to think about that. This was a time where they didn't have mirrors. But they would look into that wash basin, and they could see their reflection. They could see who they were. And that was, so they would take their time, and they would look, and they would see their reflection, and God wanted them to take account of who they were. And as they look in that wash basin, then they would have that moment of accountability with God, and they would have that, and then they would take the water. Each person would take that water, and they'd take a handful, and they'd wash themselves with that water. That water would be a cleansing, that water would be God's Spirit being flowing down upon them, that God's presence would wash over them. And in that washing over them, that they would be purified, that their hearts would be made pure again. When we come into worship in a time like this, after we've been freed, we come to this wash basin and we take a look. We give account for who we are. We dip our hands in and we say, dear God, may your Spirit wash over us. May we be cleansed. May our hearts be purified by your Holy Spirit. That was the last act in the courtyard, that was the last act. When you did that, you were saying to God, I give you everything. I give you my all. There, it was the goat. There, it was the animal. There, it was the material possession. There, it cost your family financially. Here, you say to God, I give you everything now. So may your spirit wash upon me and wash over me. Let us prepare our hearts now and our minds now just to begin to give God everything in our lives, to give him everything. As we take this moment, I'm going to ask that we'll prepare our hearts and our minds. We're also going to take our offering at this time. Dear God, may your presence and may your spirit wash over us and purify our hearts as we give you everything. In your name we pray. Amen.
There's a voice that cries out in silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. He wants it all today, so give it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. So give it all. Searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it
all. Journeying. As we continue journeying through the tabernacle in week four. Wow, what are you doing? The ceiling fans blow your papers away. As we continue journeying through the tabernacle, we enter into the holiest of holy places, and inside this space, we find a table. In week four in Pastor Chad's sermon series, he described that inside this place, there was a table and there was bread. And he invited us forward to receive the communion elements, to receive the bread at this table. And Pastor Chad read that week a passage from Exodus chapter 25. I'm not sure if they have it up on the screen, so I want to quickly read this scripture from Exodus 25. It's a description of the building of this space, the construction of this space. Hear the words of God. Then make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 2 cubits wide and 2.5 cubits high, and overlay it with pure gold, and make a gold rim around it. And make 4 legs, 4 golden rings to put on the table, and fasten them with 4 corners where the 4 legs are. And the rings will be closed with the rim to hold the poles carrying the table. And make the poles of acacia wood, overlaying them with this gold. And then make its plates and its dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and its bowls for the pouring out of offerings. And put the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. So in this holy space, we come to find the bread of the presence. This bread was sacred, holy bread. While outside in the courtyard, it was loud and it was chaotic and it was noisy. Inside, it was quiet. While outside in the courtyard, it smelled of blood. Inside, in this holy place, it smelled of incense and perhaps the aroma of the bread found there. And here, in this holy place, we're invited in to this intimate experience with God. While outside, it was raw and it was noisy and chaotic. And we come to this table. If you will remember, Pastor Chad invited us to the table to receive the bread, to commune with God. Communing with God is essentially an intimate experience. God invites us into a deep and personal relationship. In communion, we call it Holy Communion or the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, whatever name you call it. We're invited to receive these common elements of juice and of bread. And out of these common elements that we receive the nourishing, sustaining elements needed for our faith journey with God. And these elements remind us, not only are they elements to nourish us in our faith journey, but they remind us of what Christ did for us on the cross, for the forgiveness of sin. And these elements, they remind us of the resurrection and the promise of life that Christ has done for us. Now, all people are invited to this holy place. All people are invited to receive these communion elements. In the Methodist Church, we celebrate an open communion experience. No matter if you're a toddler just learning to chew or if you're an elderly person, all ages are welcome to this table. People of all denominations are welcome to this table, for it's truly Christ's table. And in the United Methodist tradition, we also celebrate using grape juice, so we're not excluding children or persons that don't drink alcohol. So we come to this space to receive the holy bread. And we come to this space receiving the elements, remembering the story of Jesus and his disciples. On a night, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room with the cup and the bread. And he took common elements of bread and he gave thanks to God for all that God had done. And he broke the bread. And as he broke the bread, he told his disciples to take it and to eat it and to remember what he was doing for them through this. And then after they were done with that supper, he took a cup, a very common cup, one like this perhaps. And it was filled with wine. In our tradition, we use grape juice. And he took this and he said, Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant relationship I'm making with you. I'm inviting you to a very personal, intimate relationship with me. And when you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. So we gather in this time of worship to give praise for all that God has done for us, the sustaining love and grace, and the personal relationship that God invites us to. Let us pray. Pray with me now. Lord, pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the common cup and on the bread. Lord, make these gifts be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be the body in Christ to the whole world. By your Spirit, Lord, make us one in Christ and one with each other, that we might receive the sustaining, loving grace of God. As we partake the elements this morning, we're going to do things a little bit differently. And if you'll look under your chair just for a moment, we're receiving communion within our chairs today. You're going to see a cup and the wafer in the cup. So a note, there's a clear plastic lining on the very top that you'll pull off. And when you pull off that clear plastic piece, inside is the wafer, the sustaining bread of God. Let us take the bread of life together. And then when you peel back the second layer, the purple one, there you'll receive the juice. Let us receive the juice together. The gift of bread and cup is a gift of God's sustaining, nourishing, loving grace. Let us continue to praise God.
So we've made our way from the altar to the wash basin to the table. We're making our way and we come to the ultimate place, the place that everybody dreamed of in Moses' day, but only one could get to. The courtyard, everybody could be in the courtyard. Everyone could go to the altar. Everyone could go to the wash basin. The table of fellowship that Lindsay just mentioned, that was only for the priests, the 12 priests. Only they could be there. And then from the 12 priests, the further back they went to the tabernacle, it came to the Holy of Holies. You've seen it. I mean, Indiana Jones, and you know the story about what's behind the Holy of Holies. I mean, it's the Ark of the Covenant. It's that Ark which that young man in the Old Testament touches, and when he touches it, what happens? It takes his life. This is the scariest, but yet holiest, most intimate place on the face of this earth. There's a scripture that you'll read up there, and it talks about the Ark of the Covenant, but this spot was marked by a pillar of cloud that would just descend from heaven, and there was a pillar of cloud that met behind this curtain. And we talked about that behind this curtain, that only one person could go through this curtain. Only the high priest. Only one person could get through this curtain. And he could only do it one day a year. It's called the Day of Atonement. And get to that holy place, that one priest, that one day of the year. It was so holy that they would tie a rope around his ankle just in case he didn't make it out on his own. Just in case God's presence was not there with him in a good way, they'd be able to pull him out of that holy place. But you come to this holy place, and the curtain was thick on the veil, they call it. The veil was so thick, it was as thick as your fist. And I talked about that last week. If you make a fist right now, that veil was as thick as your fist. It would have taken a long time to have made that veil. It was very heavy and very holy. And what was the big deal? The big deal was that behind this veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was the only holy piece of furniture beyond this veil. And so the high priest would not even be able to peel back the curtain, the veil. He would have to slide under the veil. We talked about that last week, that the veil was a seamless piece of fabric. There was no way to open it. You'd have to crawl under it. It couldn't be opened. And so that high priest would crawl under there, and he would go in, and he would be in the holiest place. The very presence of God was right there. We talked about that Jesus becomes our high priest, that Jesus goes into the presence of God for us. And Jesus splits the veil. That Jesus says, this separation between God and all of you, this veil that represents separation, is no more. Jesus says, no more will only one day a year, will only one person be able to go into the holiest place and be in the presence of God. Jesus splits the veil, and he says, so that as our high priest, he says, he wants for each of us to be able to be in the presence of God. He wants for each of us to experience this holy place. We talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and we talked about how this golden ark contained within it the Ten Commandments and has two cherubim on it. Can you see the cherubim? And we talked about how this holy piece of furniture, what it represented and what it was. Yes, within this piece of furniture, there was the commandments that God had given Moses. It was the tablets of the law were in this box. But the tablets of the law are not what made this box holy. The gold was not what made the Ark of the Covenant so valuable. It wasn't all that. It was the cherubim here. Preston, I'm going to take you for a second. And we're going to take the ark out because I want to be able to show this so everyone can see it. So if you grab the table right there, I want you to be able to see. And we're going to go center stage. Jesus splits that veil. And he wants us to come to the ark, each of us. And he doesn't want us just to come to be amazed by the gold and the details. He wants us to come to the ark because the Ark of the Covenant, there in the middle of the cherubim, was called the mercy seat. The mercy seat. The priest would have taken blood, a bowl of blood. He would have poured the blood there, and an atonement would have been made for all the people, for all the nation of Israel. But he would have made it right here at the mercy seat. This is where God sits. That pillar of cloud said, and that pillar of cloud hit right there, that God's presence was right there, that the Ark of the Covenant, right there, that mercy seat, it was God's throne, his earthly throne. And Jesus splits that veil so that each of us may come to God's throne, that we may place ourselves right there at God's feet so that we may have the most holy experience. And we come before God's throne, and we come before God's seat. And in doing that, we come with a heart of praise as we came through the gate. You come through with a heart of unity. You come through with a heart of humility. And Jesus says to us, I split the veil as your priest. I have given you access to God's feet, to the holiest place that God has ever had, to his earthly throne. I now give you access. You may now come to his throne. And Jesus looks at us and he says, surely you must be in awe of this. Surely you must be overwhelmed by this. Surely you can't help but realize what I've just done for you. And now that you have access to the earthly sanctuary, the earthly holiest place of God, surely you must come to this place. And it's God's feet and it's his seat. And Jesus says, surely you must kneel and you must bow and you must praise and give thanks to a most holy God.